Let's do Kuf Yud Dalet. Now, we're in the middle of Hallel. We did the first part. B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim B'tzeis Yaakov Mem Lois. Now, this is obviously going to be talking about all the great things that happened to Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. And you should know that the first two prakim of Hallel, right, Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dalet, are what we say on Pesach night during Magid. The other parts we say later on, because there really is a divide in Hallel. The first two, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the past, and the next four, really praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the future. And that's the divide in the middle of Hallel, where it's this and then that. That's the idea of why we split it up. So when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and then Beis Yaakov left Me'am Lois. Now, we all know that Yisrael is usually referring to Bnei Yisrael, who are the men, while Yaakov, Beis Yaakov, is usually referring to the ladies, the woman herself. That's based on a medrash, Kosomar LeBeis Yaakov. But and that's the idea of what went through. Yehuda Lekadsho. At that point, Yehuda became the holy ones. Yisrael Mamshalosav. Yisrael became the rulers that go in. Now, the reason why Yehuda is because Yehuda is the first one to jump into the sea itself. Right? At this point, when they decided that Bnei Yisrael was going to leave Mitzrayim, they were going to have leaders, Yehuda became the number one because of what he did at that time.
How does it translate Loez?
Okay. Loez is strange languages or a strange nation. That's how it is. Now, Me'am Loez is obviously from that.
It says Me'amei Bar Bira'e, which means the outside, right? Outside.
Bar Bira'e.
Right?
Yeah. What Bar is something, though.
So I was thinking you just really got the word barbarian from.
Israel has
that
domination.
Might be. Yeah, maybe. I wonder where the etymology of barbarian comes from. Doesn't that? What does he call it?
His dominion?
No. It's Me'am Loez.
European language.
In Pasuk Aleph. The last word is in Pasuk Aleph.
Oh, Pasuk Aleph.
Yeah. From a strange language, strange tongue. Yeah, that should be the most obvious over here. It is interesting. Obviously, Me'am Loez, some say that it's a reference to Motzi Laz, that's speaking Lashon Hara, right, about another person slandering other people. That's one way of referring to it over here. Okay, regardless, right, Bnei Yisrael lived among the Egyptians for a very long time, but they lived in a different area. I remember where people used to make fun of me all the time, because like, oh, you lived in Eretz Yisrael for so long and you don't speak Hebrew fluently? Now, I agree. It's pretty sad. But I lived in an enclave in Eretz Yisrael where everybody was speaking English. So even though I should have learned Hebrew, I didn't because I wasn't living among people who were speaking Hebrew the entire time. So in that sense, it could very well be that they mamish treated the Egyptians as Me'am Loez, an Am that spoke another language. Even though they were in their land, it didn't matter. We were living in Goshen all together, and that's where they were over here.
It's like curious, y'all.
Curious, y'all. Exactly. I'll speak Yiddish. I don't even know if they know English, right? It's possible they don't.
They don't.
Right? It's very, very well. No, it makes sense that they
would. No, I know there are people who
yeah,
don't.
You'd assume.
Williamsburg? I was probably the only Sephardi that stepped foot into Curious Hall.
Ever?
Why did they let you in there?
I had to go 8th grade trip.
A day trip?
8th grade trip.
You know how 8th grade is. Either way, we all know that Bnei Yisrael did not change their names, their language, and their clothing. That's actually not in the same medrash, by the way. There's one medrash that says they didn't change their name and their tongue. And there's another medrash says they didn't change their clothing. But it's not in the same medrash where it mentions all three. It wasn't all about Gizela and Arias, that they weren't involved with Gizela and Arias. Now, the Shemus and the Lashon are both learned from this pasuk, that there were Me'am Loez, not only in their tongue, but also
their... The medrash says they don't change their language?
This one, the Medrash Rabbah, is the one that says names, language, Gizela, and Arias, right? While another Medrash says they didn't change their, their clothing.
And what would be, and when it says, what would be the problem changing their language?
It's not that it's a problem. It was like a chumrah they added on for themselves to keep themselves separate from the nations. And every generation, there's something that we should be doing to keep us separate. You could call that a kippah now. Maybe the tzitzis that we wear, right? A kippah technically is not a chiyuv deal, right? A chiyuv, maybe even drabanan. It could just be a minig tova. But it's something that we all do to keep ourselves separate. Whatever it is. Like it could be like Lasid level, Kaddish Baruch Hu is the reason why you left Golus Adom is because you all wear kippahs. Who knows? But there's something that keeps us separate. And what kept us separate then was this. I like it. But that would be a good one. But language and name. It's interesting, though, because if you look at us now, right, we have English names, many of us. We speak a different language, not a question. We wear their clothing.
And not just English names. You've always had, people who lived in Arab countries had Arabic names.
Without a question. In Mitzrayim, though, they didn't. In Mitzrayim, they didn't. That's the idea behind it. One interesting thing behind that is that Yosef HaTzadik did have all three. He wore Egyptian clothing. That was in this week's parsha, the Big Day Shesh and the Ravid Hazov that was given to him by Paro. He changed his name to Tzafnats Penach. Now, granted, the king did it, but still, it was a change of the name altogether, right? And he spoke the Egyptian language. That's why he didn't speak their tongue. He had an interpreter in between them.
They knew. I mean, he lived in the country by himself for all those years.
There's no question. It's just,
he was not going to know the language.
What I'm saying is, it's well, the Jews might not have, because they were living in
Radcliffe. Right, but they came all together.
The interesting part behind it is that these things, that the Jews never did all these three. Well, Yosef HaTzadik for sure did all three. It's just an interesting thing to point out. Okay, and then Apostle Gimel, Hayom Rav Ayanos. The sea saw them, and again, this could be referring to the Yehuda thing. We did do this?
My note says Kuftes Vav.
Alright, we're doing it again. Hayarden Tisov, that's so funny. See, I told you, Benyamin. Hayarden Tisov Le'achor, the Jordan River turned backward. So what did the sea see? What did the Yam see? So it's one of the things over here. Rabbi Yehuda says that it saw the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nechemiah says it saw the name of Hashem engraved on the staff, right? The third one is that the sea saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. A fourth one is that the sea actually understood and felt what was happening. There's a famous Rav Schwab on this, that in times of miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it into the system of the world that the Malach takes over a thought process for the objects that they can have, so to speak, Bechira. Like, for example, we'll give some examples. You know, they say that the Tzvardeya, the frogs, chose to jump inside the ovens. How do frogs choose? They have no Bechira. There's no Bechira by frogs. How do they choose? Because at the time, that miracle allowed the Malachim of those frogs to make a decision.
That's already a miraculous occurrence to begin with.
Correct. Any time where there's unbelievable miracles occurring, this can happen. The trees, some of them gave fruit that was like the bark, and most of them did not. How did trees make a decision like that? The trees didn't make a decision. The moon argued that it was, you know, it shouldn't be equal to the sun. How does a moon make such a decision?
But those are all midrashim.
How does it?
Exactly. He's saying all those midrashim, there's also a midrash. All those midrashim that say that the sea actually felt it and split on his own, that the sea was arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the malach of the sea that gave the ability at that moment he got to have the
fear. The malach of Tzardeya is in the Torah, that idea that the moon and the sun fought over who would be bigger.
But that the frogs chose to go inside the oven rather than do anything else. That's a medrash. All of these medrashim, Rav Schwab has famously said that they're all the same way. There is another medrash that the Mamloys doesn't mention over here, that it fled for Yosef HaTzadik's kever. The Yosef HaTzadik ran away by Yonos, by Yetzia Chutza, from Eishes Potiphar, therefore by Yonos. The sea ran away from Yosef HaTzadik. I mean, Yosef HaTzadik Tzidkus caused the sea to run away over here.
So how do we fit in the the medrash of Nachshon? And, you know...
Well, it's a problem. That's exactly... before you came, Yehuda... How do you say Yehuda Lekadosh? Yehuda became Kadosh because he's the one that made the sea split. But what did the sea see
like,
that
why
made
was the
it
sea
split?
Fleeing if it was just Nachshon who was walking into it? Like, was he the conduit? Like... Was it Yosef's bones?
Yehuda
was
staff? Yeah, there was a schus, and then there was Yehuda actually being Moser Nefesh, that somebody had to do it. Somebody had to make it happen. Nachshon Ben Yonatan was the one that did it. Either that or Binyamin. Binyamin might have jumped in as well. Another line over here is that, what's the Jordan River? The Jordan, Yisov Lachor, turned backward. Now, maybe that's referring to 40 years later, right? It's true. But maybe it's referring to 40 years later, where the Jordan River did not split, but the Jordan went up, right? And it was different. But it seems like this is the remez, that when the Yamsuf split, everything split. All the waters in the world split. Harim Roktu Keilim. The mountains skipped around like rams give a oath, keeping its own. The hills, like different sheep, the young sheep. That's what they did over there. All the mountains went together, etc. Malacha Yom Kisanos Yardin Tizolachor. What made you, O.C., run away, the Yardin turning backward? What was the behavior? Explain what you're doing over here. Harim Tirkidu Keilim give a oath, keeping its own. The mountains to dance around like sheep. And like rams, and the hills kibnate zone, like the little sheep as well. What's going on over here that caused this to happen? What allows it to happen? From in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chuli Aretz, who is the trembling of the earth, from before the God of Yaakov Avinu itself. Now, obviously, this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does constantly, making a rock turn into water, right? Allowing Anani Akavu to surround Bnei Yisrael. I shouldn't say constantly, but something that these people saw. What is going on here? But he is ha-hovchi ha-tsur agamoyim. He's able to turn a rock, a flint, into a river, a pool of water. Chalamish, a hard rock, lamayinomayim, to a spring of water over here. Interesting, by the way, that it says it both. Of course, it could be poetic, because the whole thing is basically poetic. Harim gvos, right? Milvnei Adon, Milvnei Eloha Yaakov. Hayom rov ayanos, hayarin yisov lechor. All of them are like doubles. So it's where ha-hovchi ha-tsur agamoyim, chalamish ha-agamoyim. But it could be that there were two different rocks that went into water. The one that originally Moshe Rabbeinu hit in Parshas Beshalach, and the one that he hit instead of speaking to in Parshas Chukas. It's possible that there were two different rocks that were involved over there. That he was supposed to speak to one rock and he hit the other rock over there. That's a possibility over here. Regardless, that's something that's there, that one can learn from over here. I kind of am going with the doubled up. Most of Hallel seems to be in a doubled up form, and therefore it seems that that's more of poetic justice than anything else. All right, Kuf Tezvav. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu. Not to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not for us. Ki l'shimcha ten kavod. Rather, for your own name you should give that honor. Al chasid al mitecha, for your chesed and for your absolute truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying, listen, there are a lot of things that we might deserve, but not all this. All of this we absolutely don't deserve. And remember, we're done with all of the geula that we had from Mitzrayim. That's it. That's what we say on Pesach night, and we're done. That starts the bracha of geula. This part of Hallel is the future. It's not for us that we're asking for this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our zchus should not be big enough in order to bring Mashiach. We know it's not going to be big enough, but it should be for you, for your chesed, and for your emes. We're giving you some type of an extension, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which you can show your chesed in the world and the emes of the world. And that's the idea behind it. There are those that say this was said by Moshe Rabbeinu when they came out of the sea. Others say Hanani Mishael Vazaria said it when they came out of the pit. Another opinion says it was said by Mordechai and Esther, that they're the ones who formed the words behind this song, but without a question, David HaMelech put it together. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Seeing what's happening to the Jewish people, they'll say, what's going on with them? How's it going to be? We should not forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the heavens. Whatever he wants to do, he has done. That's our acceptance of the matter. We're not expecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us when we don't deserve it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help us, he knows where we are. He knows how to get to us. But we sit there, we say, we know that everything's going to be okay. Marshall, in a certain city, there was a mayor who was appointed by the richest man in town. It happened once that the sons of these two men were fighting with each other, right? So one said to the other, you have to honor me. I'm the mayor's son. Therefore, you have to honor me. So the rich man's son said, as a spoiled brat, only a spoiled brat would, he's like, the only reason why your father is the mayor is because of my dad. So I don't have to honor you being the mayor's son. My father is more important than your father. And that's the idea behind it. It's, what are you boasting for, we say to the nations of the world? What, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you in charge? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in charge right now? He's the one that put you in charge. My father is the one who put your father in charge. So you don't want to get into that fight with a non-Jew. My dad can beat up your dad. But that's the basic idea of Kol Asher Chafetz Aseh. He can do whatever he wants. He'll do whatever he wants when it comes to this.
I seem pretty spoiled there. My dad is the mayor. So I can do whatever I want.
No, that guy seems normal. Yeah, Atzabim Kesef Zahav. They're little idols, right? The Atzabim, their source of sadness. We all know the word Eitzev is sad. Their source of sadness is Kesef Zahav, their silver and their gold. Maaseh Yadam, things that they make on their own. And that's the idea behind it. The toil that they do over here. Pelam Velita Beri Naim Velo Yeru. They have mouths that do not speak. They have eyes that do not see. Aznaim Velo Yishmo, Aflam Velo Yerichun. They have ears that do not hear. They have a nose that does not smell altogether. These are the four defects that we're referring over here. There's a reference to the Pasuk in Devarim, where it says these things as well. They don't hear, they don't smell, they don't speak, etc. Right? And that's a reference to over here. Yedem lo yimishun, their hands do not touch. Raglem lo yalechu, their feet do not walk. Lo yegubu gronam, they have no ability to speak with their throat itself. You might be able to think that they're moving, because there was machinery and mechanics that they had even back then that caused the idols to maybe seem like they were moving or doing things that were out there, but it wasn't actual. It wasn't that idea over there, and therefore, because of that, it was just another part of an idol itself. Some say there's a reference to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadnezzar made a huge statue and put the shame of Hashem in it, according to the Medrash, and Daniel had to take the statues, the little thing out. That was the statue that Hanan Mishael Vazari refused to bow down to. So according to the Medrash, Daniel said, I'd like to kiss the idol on the mouth. To which Nebuchadnezzar said, why? And he said, because it's saying beautiful things. It was supposedly saying the Aseret Divros. So he went up to the idol, and he put his mouth on its mouth, and he said, give me the Tzitzit HaKodesh. apparently he knew the Tzitz HaKadosh was inside. The Tzitz HaKadosh came into Daniel's mouth. He came down. The idol fell down on its face. That even if it moves around, it's in three different places, actually. One is in Devarim at the very beginning. One is in the Yalkut Shimoni in that area of Daniel or what was somewhere around there. And it's brought down. You know what I saw originally? Ishia Tanach brings it from a Medrash Rabbah randomly. But that's that. But it's a great medrash. A great medrash. And it's all about this. It's over here regarding the Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel.
I saw a real idol a couple of weeks ago. I went to go. I needed to buy a gift for somebody.
New York? Empire State Building?
Chicago.
Is that what you mean?
In Chicago. On Lincoln, next to the Kinkos or the FedEx there. So they have like the manicure place. I had to go buy a gift for somebody that I worked with. And my sister's like, oh, you can go there and buy a manicure for them and they'll like love it. I walk in there. There was like an idol with like a plate of donuts on it and four cups of drinks.
For Hanukkah.
I just felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was like, can I even like give them my money? Like, I thought that was like weird. Like they literally put out food for it every day and drink.
Hey, I just gotta eat.
Now I'm wondering, does the night
shift
eat the donuts?
Oh, for sure.
And the next morning they're like, oh, he ate them, we gotta get some more.
Yeah, for sure.
Like sand.
No, they take it out. They feel rejected because it wasn't accepted. If it was only accepted just
but
once.
But he never eats it, so what are they doing with it?
Those donuts are going stale.
Maybe they need to give them fresh ones.
Come on.
There were four cups of like, look like coffee, like, but different colored coffees or something. I don't know.
Who knows what they're doing?
I don't know.
You knew. I was at a wedding where in the wedding place itself they had the things burning.
It was a Buddha or
it was? It was a Buddha. Yeah, it was a regular Buddha. Western Buddha, but a Buddha.
Jewish wedding?
Jewish wedding. Yeah. It was in someone's house in Northbrook.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, no, nothing. I mean, except for smash the idols like Avraham Avinu, steal them, throw them in the ground, and say, like, oh, they did it to themselves.
That
that's what I could have done. Yeah, I didn't do that, because we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch says that we don't paskin like that, and that's why it's not in the Torah. That's what he says. Shulchan Aruch says
we don't paskin that way.
You're not allowed to steal someone else's thing, even if it's Vodah Zarah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I mean, is it okay to like throw rocks on someone's car if they're using it to drive on Shabbos? That would be the natural...
Hold on. Did you designate the rocks?
Let's say
that's a kasha. Kamoem Uoseim, like them, should be their makers. That's a very big curse, by the way. That's mamash a curse that they should have no tchias amesim. They shouldn't move. They shouldn't get up again. Anybody who trusts in them, let them be trust in them. They believe in inert matter and things that don't move or anything like that. Fine, they should be like that. Yisrael b'tachvashem is ramaginam hu. Bnei Yisrael should trust in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Their help and their shield should be like that, so that it's not temporary. Based on Rambam b'chol b'Hashem is ramaginam hu. The next level up, the Beis Aaron, which includes Kohanim and Leviim, should all trust in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, this could reference to the Chashmonaim as well this time of year. Yirei Hashem bitchu v'Hashem ezroim ginam hu. May those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Talmidei Chachamim, the great ones out there, also trust in Hashem ezroim ginam hu. You're going from one level to the other level to the other level, and then we say Hashem zechron yivarech. Now, why don't we say this in full Hallel?
Okay. So I've heard one explanation. It has something to do with Korban.
I will tell you, before you start, I have never heard a good explanation for it.
Somebody told me something about
tons of Gidolim.
No, I don't know the explanation.
I've never heard it. Yeah, go ahead. What do you have?
It has something to do with the Korbanos and how they were brought on like Pesach and Sukkot, and I don't know. You can ask Mark Candleman. He's the one who gave it.
He's the one that has it?
Yeah.
I've asked. I can't even tell you how many people I've asked. And every person is like, oh. I've checked every sitter I could. And the truth is, I've been looking for years to try to figure out, why in the world don't we say this? What happened? Why is that taken out? Like, what's such a big deal about that?
Yeah,
it sounds good. I don't understand. And if it's anything, so why not skip out on a whole perek as opposed to losing out on half a perek? To me, it's one of the strangest minhagim that we do. And I don't know if they always had this minhag. Rav was the one who went to a city and heard them do half hallel, where they didn't do the whole hallel. But it doesn't say they skip this. I have no clue. Literally no clue.
But I think that everybody's Mesorah is half hallel means skipping this.
Oh, 100%. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't hold this way. Maybe there's a Tamani person that holds differently. But it's a Pella. It's Mamash a Pella. Where did this stem from? And if it's all the way from Rav, then that's even stranger. What in the world? Why wouldn't the Gemara say it? Why doesn't any Gemara say
maybe,
skip up until Hashem Zechon Yivar?
Maybe the holidays in which we say full hallel, those are the days in which we are commemorating the triumph over all the people worship the false gods.
Okay, I hear that. And by halfway,
so we want to save it. We want to save it for those. We say it on all holidays of Hanukkah. That's it. The Shalom
no.
Shabbat and Hanukkah.
Well, hold on.
We don't. No, on the last
the
days
end
of Pesach.
Right. We don't do the last days of Pesach.
The end of Pesach.
Right.
Hanukkah. Rosh Chodesh.
Rosh Chodesh is not one of the Moadim.
You're right, but we do it on Rosh Chodesh.
Right, but there, we do have
Challah. Even on Yom HaTzmaut, we do Challah.
No, but on Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Challah. You don't say this on Rosh Chodesh.
On Rosh Chodesh, you don't say it, right.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, so you're saying you
Rosh
only say it
commemorate,
on,
like, a victory
hold
over...
Hold on. We do it on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot,
right?
Hanukkah.
That's it.
Yeah, and the first two days of Pesach, obviously. And we don't do it on Rosh Chodesh or the last days of Pesach. And that we are given
so
a reason.
The last days of Pesach is right, because we need to have some sort of mourning for the enemies. And then on Rosh Chodesh, there's no victory. It's just like a moot court where Musaf is given.
There's no question about that, but why would they decide? And the reason why is because Rosh Chodesh is a whole kasha whether you should say halal in the first place, you should do it. But why this? And you're saying because of that, but that's not going to answer for the next one. We're going to see about a haftias Hashem. Let's see if that works over there. Hashem Zichron Yivarech Hashem.
Well, it could be, because he listened to my voice, meaning we were in some sort of... Mitzuka.
Let's see if that works over here, because that's a very, very different line. Hashem Zichron Yivarech. Hashem should remember us. He will bless us. Yivarech Beis Yisrael. Yivarech Beis Aaron. He should bless Beis Yisrael first. Then he should bless Beis Aaron. Yivarech Yirei Hashem. Haktanim Gedolim. Then Yirei Hashem. The small ones together with the great ones. The three levels that we have over here. Bnei Yisrael. Then Kohanim Leviim. And finally Yirei Hashem. Going up once again, as we just mentioned before. Yosef Hashem Aleichem Aleichem Abaneichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should increase you. You and your children. Some say there are three generations here. You and your children and your children's children. That's Aleichem, Aleichem, the Albanechem, right? And that's that. Otherwise, you could also say it's like infinitely you, and then double you, and then even more so to your children. It's something like that. That we're talking infinite amounts of brachas over here that's being given. Baruch Atam Hashem, you should be blessed to Hashem, Oseh Shemayim Va'aretz, who made the heavens and the earth.
Moshe's bracha was Yosef Aleichem Kachem Elef Pe'amim.
Elef Pe'amim. He was limited. Yeah. Bnei Yisrael getting blessed by Moshe Rabbeinu directly was supposed to be Elef Pe'amim, because that was the amount of bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu had to give them. While Kadosh Baruch Hu was infinite. So I don't know what this is.
No, but that seems, Moshe seems greater, because you're just saying you and then your grandchildren.
Oh, you're just saying
Moshe
three generations?
Saying a thousand times.
No, but I'm saying there's another one infinitely is the other line that's used over here. Aleichem and doubled, like times, on you times you. You know, so to speak, like that's how much it's supposed to be over there, right? But it keeps going.
See, Moshe was blessing them, they should multiply a thousand times.
Yeah. Yep. Only, but it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha was unlimited. That's what changed over there. That's the question that the Rishonim ask over there. Say, why is Moshe Rabbeinu only doing 1,000 times, right? And Rashi says right there, that's my bracha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited. That's what Rashi says right there. Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Varez and Salam Adom. The heavens are God's, but the land has been given to us. We have free will. We can do what we need to do. We all know this is one of the things that people put in their Siddurim. Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Varez and Salam Adom. Right? Lashem Haaretz and Meloa is the line that we go over here. But the pshat is, land was given to people only after we make a bracha. After we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. La'amezim al-luka. Those who are dead should not praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu nor those who go down in silence. We should not go into those people. It's all the dead do not praise the Lord. We're asking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't let me die, because the dead don't praise you. The dead are not going to be involved with you. So let me stay alive. And those who are down by Duma. Duma, as we all know, is the name of the Malach of the dead, taking care of the dead. That's the name that's used for him in Brachos.
Also the lower house of parliament in Russia.
Is that what it's called? That's not a coincidence. In a place that calls themselves Russia. And we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'atov yadilim from now and forever. Hallelujah. Right? It should be forever and ever when it comes to it. No worries about anything else. We should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu and deal with what we need to do over here, and that's that.
So
okay.
Is it just a matter of, like, why do they split it up in Hallel?
I don't. Why do they have to?
Like this parak.
No, I don't know. That's what we're asking. What do you mean?
No, like... am I missing something here?
But that's what we started off with. I said, I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not that one. This one, if Binyamin's line is correct that we're dealing with Avodah Zarah, look at the beginning over here. I love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears my voice and my supplication. Meaning, a person loves when something works. When it finally works, you're sitting there and you're like, amazing, it worked. I can't believe it worked. So I love... David HaMelech is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to my supplications. Hold on, rega. Because he inclines his ear to me, uviyamai ekra, and therefore I will call upon him all the days of my life. Meaning, if I know he's listening and I realize there's going to be something in here, then I'm willing to do whatever I need to do, right? That's that. I don't want the nations of the world saying your prayers are in vain, right? I want it to be that it's completely there. And that's why I'm willing to daven on Chagim, on Shabbos, and something like that. Now, listen to this. there are three obstacles, right, says the Mamloes, and why a person will not be able to have clear prayer. Either number one, because he's got too much work to do and he just can't think about this right now. Number two, pollution of the heart. He's just not able to think clearly. He's got other things in his heart, other taivas that are bothering him, taking him out of his thing. And number three, nagging thoughts about parnasa. He's dealing with so many things physically that he can't deal with it. Part of it, weariness of work, is just he's tired. This is his thoughts about his parnasa, of how much he has to do. I have no time to daven mincha. I have to continue my work right now.
You're too tired or too stressed out to focus on it.
Yeah, I think I don't think those are, I think they're dissimilar, though.
Yeah, no,
in other words, yeah, that's the idea behind it. And against these things, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur. If you can't daven properly during the week, then I have these days where you're not going to have to worry about these things. You should not be tired. You're going to sleep more on Shabbos than you do during the rest of the week. You shouldn't have to worry about your work because you're not supposed to think about your work when it comes to this. And taivas, take care of your taivas by eating a lot. Like, get rid of them that way. And like, feed your taivas in that way and get rid of them. And then you'll maybe be able to do it. That's the concept of why we have those days, to be able to daven properly. When the ropes of death have surrounded me, and when the confines of the grave have found me, and I only see pain and trouble and sadness over me, then I call out to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem Malta Nafshi. I say, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save my soul from it. So it's interesting. Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis used this pasuk when he was so poor, the Gemara in Taina says, that he couldn't handle anymore. It's right at the end of the third parak. Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't take anymore. How much longer am I going to be in this world? It's a funny little line, because Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis needed bloodletting because he was sick. He got the bloodletting, and then you're supposed to eat after you give blood, right? He couldn't afford anything, so he had the shell of an onion. That's what he ate. So he fell straight asleep. And he started breathing fire in his sleep. And the Talmidim saw him, and all of a sudden he laughed, smiled, and a spark came from him. Right? Something like that. So he cried, he laughed, and a spark came from him. So he said, what happened? He said, when I dreamt that I went up in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I said, how much longer do I have to be in pain in this world? Rabbi Elazar was unbelievably poor. This is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. He was unbelievably poor. Like, literally had absolutely nothing to his name. And everything he did, he was a really smart person, but everything he did never worked. All of his businesses failed. Nothing worked whatsoever. He said, how much longer? So he said, Elazar Bini, do you want me to turn around the world? I'll start the world all over again. And maybe you'll be born at a time when you'll be able to get a parnasa. Do you want me to do that? Rabbi Elazar said, how much longer do I have in this world? Have I lived longer than I will live? Or am I going to live longer than I already have? He said, you've already lived more than half of your life. Then Rabbi Elazar said, all right, forget it then. I'll deal with it. You know, I'll handle it up until now. The line that's used in that Gemara is, he said, Ana Hashem Malta Nafshi. So that's the reason why he cried, because of all the tzaras that he had. This smile that he has, he said, because you accepted that, he said to Rabbi Elazar, I'm going to give every person in your generation a chelik in Olam Haba, and you will get 13 rivers of a parsenemy oil or something like that. He said, that's what you're going to get for yourself. He said, that's it? He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, that's it? That's all you're giving me? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Gemara, snapped his finger in his face, or like clipped away, whatever, and that was the little sparks that came from him, and that's when he woke up. Absolute crazy Gemara. I think it's Chav Dalet Amud Beis in Tainus. It might be Chav Hey Amud Beis.
13 rivers of oil?
Yeah, 13 rivers of a parsenemy oil.
I don't know what parsenemy oil is, but what do you do with
A parsimone. A parsimone. I don't know. What do you do with rivers? I guess bathe in them.
Well, I mean, if you had rivers of oil nowadays, you'd be really rich.
Yeah, that would be great, but I don't think he's going to have that. The Arabs have that. Anyway, but that's that. He learned that line. Chanun Hashem etzadik Elokim Merachem. May God favor us with grace, right, and be righteous, and our Kadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on us and compassion with everything. Shomer Pesayim Hashem, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu protects the idiots. That Lucifer Leoshia, I've been brought low, and he's able to save me. By far the best line in the world is Shomer Pesayim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the idiots. Used all over the place in the Gemara, where like, if a guy does something stupid, don't worry, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the people that are just fools and don't do anything right. Yeah, of course, right? They should be dead 150,000 times over. Shuvi Nafshi L'Nuchaychi, allow my soul to return to its rest. Ki Hashem Gamal Alaychi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal well with you and everything you have. Ki Chlatzen Hashem Yimavis, when you save my soul, rescue my soul from death. As any redeemer, my eyes from the tears, as ragli midachi, and my feet from stumbling, as aleich lifnei Hashem baratz tachaim. That's when I will walk before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the land of the living. Obviously, a reference to Olam Haba and what's going to be in Olam Haba. Hamanti ki adaber, and believe me when I say, ani anis ma'od. I have been greatly afflicted in my time. And that's that. David HaMelech himself could have said this. I don't think he need anybody else. The amount of affliction that David HaMelech went through in the first 30 years of his life if he was never accepted by his brothers for whatever reason, right? Later on, when he was chased around by Shaul HaMelech, and then eventually by Avner and Ish-Boshes, right? Or he was king, but he wasn't fully king. And then all the issues that happened during this kingdom, you know, Avshalom, etc., and fighting with all the Ammonim, and etc., and everything like that. There's no question that it's he's saying, like, ani anis ma'od. I'm a nobody, says David HaMelech. Why in the world am I getting all this stuff over here? You can believe him when he said such a thing. Hamanti ki adaber, ani amarti b'chavsi, and I thus said in my haste, kol adam kozev. People are liars. Why did he say that? Because Shmuel and Avi told him that everything was going to be okay. Everything was not okay. He became anointed, and then all of a sudden he's chased around by Shaul HaMelech for 2 years. And even then he didn't become king. Even after that, he didn't become king for another 5 years after that. It's almost impossible. He said, like, I don't get what's going on here. And that's the concept behind it. The line that we have to use for it is we have to say, even when we, you know, go through on Pesach Seder night, Hem manti kedavir aninis ma'od, I was poor, and Yemarti b'chavsi kol adam kozev, people are liars, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not. He saved us, and he's going to continue to save us, and that everything will be okay. And then Ma'ashiv Lashem.
I have an emendation.
Yeah, I had one more.
Oh yeah, what did you want to say for that?
These two prakim, the last one and this one, are not, the other prakim in Halal, I'll deal with praise. Mm-hmm. Halal do this, Halal do that, you know, all the. These two prakim don't have that. These are more like, we talk about, you know, God's vanquishing the Avodah Zarah, and in this one we're talking about Hashem listening to my voice.
That's,
you know,
right.
And I pray to him when I'm in pain.
Sorus,
and everything.
Yeah, Sorus.
So, I mean, so on the days when we always say half hollow, we focus only
on the good, not on the odd.
I mean, only on the praise, but that's like, that's, we're getting like the main.
No, you're right, because the end of Yivarech Hashem, Hallelujah, all of that is dealing with praises, and over here also, Moshiv Hashem.
The first parak,
yeah, this also, parak. Yeah, for sure, the first two parakim, because that's all praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the past. This is supposed to be what's going to be in the future. Moshiv Hashem, what can I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kodim Eloi Eloi. All of his rewards have been upon me, like I'm giving everything back. That's good, because this part is already the positive part. That's a good one. I like that. I will lift up the cup of salvation of Hashem Hashem Akra, and I'll call in the name of Hashem. First of all, David HaMelech, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go around and say, who's going to bench for everybody else here? So everybody has a problem. Avraham Avinu says, I had Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu says, I had Esav. Yaakov Avinu says, I married two sisters. Moshe Avinu says, I thought it was Puru Ravu. I don't remember. There was something wrong with Moshe Avinu.
Oh, you didn't have a girl?
He never had a girl. I don't remember
but that's
what.
According to Basil.
The opinion, right? Oh, yeah, because in the future we hold like Beis Shammai. Either way, I don't remember what it is. He said something. Aaron said something also. And then David HaMelech said, I'll do it. He picks up the cup of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shem Hashem HaKol. I'll be the one to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Gemara Pesachim. Amazing Gemara Pesachim. I think Kuf Yud Ches over there. We learn from over here on Inyan that you raise the cup up when making Kiddush. And in fact, in Havdalah, at the point when you say Kos Yishuos Hashal v'shem Hashem HaKol, do you start him say that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you do that, you're supposed to lift up the cup a little bit. You lift it up just a little bit, right, to show that this Kos Yishuos Hashal.
Why do you hold the cup like this?
So, I'll tell you, the Arizal.
We hold it like this.
The Arizal says that you're supposed to put it in the palm of your hand. You're supposed to, and the hands going up is supposed to refer to Shefa, going, like, being brought down or whatever it is. So I learned it actually not from any, I learned it from Rabina. Rabina asked me to make Kiddush once, and I went like that. And he said, no, put your hands under. And I said, okay. So I made Kiddush for the minion at Nativ Aryeh. You know, he has that Vasikim minion in his house. Right. So I made Kiddush for everyone. After I finished, I put it down, said to him, what's up? He said, that's the only way Shefa comes to you. Of course, a Rabina line, right? But he said, you have to pull it under. Now, what he did tell me was, is that you don't do it, if you have like a long stem of a Kiddush cup, you don't put it under the stem. You put your hand on the actual cup itself, and the stem can go beneath you. That you could go ahead and do. Yeah, I saw him do it between his fingers. So that's what he did. But honestly, I've never seen it before, and I've never seen anyone say that you have to do it that way before. But the amount of Kabbalah that I've learned, I could probably fit inside this little thing of tape. So I don't know. I honestly can't tell you. I'll tell you soon enough. I know how to fly. Okay, that's that. Another thing is, when a person is found that he gets a Yeshua, he shouldn't misuse them for himself. I find it very interesting, by the way. I've had a lot of issues with Mr. Trump, although today and yesterday I've been very happy with him. But one of the things that I've seen is, I don't know if he really means it, but to dumb down Air Force One, to not have everything else, or to cut the spending. I don't know if he's actually going to do it. But to say it is always, I haven't heard that before.
Was it dumbing down?
What?
It was just
not paying the amount. Yeah, not paying for the amount that's out there. Whatever it is. Not to use the extra little bit that you could get not to use it for yourself. And that's what David HaMelech was saying. Like, obviously, you got to have something. You're the king, but not to overtake anything. I will pay back my neder, my promises, my vows to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Negda Nolech Olamo, in the presence of opposite all of the people around. Yakor Bnei Hashem Mavsal Chasidov, precious in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the death of his Chasidim over here. In other words, over here, the death of the Chasidim, even their death, is something that's precious in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he doesn't want them to die, but the way that they die, the way that they go out, is so precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. Some say that Yaakov here is costly. It's costly in the eyes of Hashem when a chassid of his dies. That's not a good thing. That's not something that's positive. Ona Hashem kini avdecha. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would say also, ona is translated in two different ways. The word ona can mean please, as in the word na, but it also can be right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way that na can be right now.
It's called aleph nun hey, whereas ona please is aleph.
Correct. I don't know what the actual Shorish is. Is the Shorish of Anna? Is Aleph Nun Hey an actual word? Or is that a play on another word?
I've never noticed that before. Anna is always Aleph Nun Aleph.
Correct. So what is this word? I always thought it was something different. What does he say? What does he say? He just says Anna?
No, Ani. He translates Ani to Anna.
Oh, so Ba'anu.
Ba'u is please. I'm asking.
Biva'u in a request. I plead.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Ma'ane lashon to
his answer.
Yeah.
So
with the, no. Mem aleph nun hey. Ma'ane lashon, not mem ayin nun hey, but ma'ane lashon is to make your tongue speak. So maybe that's something. I don't know. But kiani avdecha, I am your servant. I always mess this up, by the way. In my sitter, I have a massive segel under the first avdecha. And the second one with the shva, because I always mess up. I always say, Ani avdecha, Ani avdecha, ben amasach. It happens every single time. So I have it like huge, so I can say, Ani avdecha, that I am your servant. Ani avdecha ben amasach. I am your servant, the son of your maid, your handmaid. Pitach lamoseiro, you should loosen my bonds, all things that are holding me back. So let me be free. Let me do what I need to do.
Yeah. Back in Eri Crown, I forgot who the rabbi was. He's speaking in my class. I don't know why I remember this. But he told a story that about some other rabbi who said that anybody who says Ana Hashem in Hallel with Kavana is guaranteed a portion of Olam Hava.
So good.
I wanted to know, is it Ana Hashem Oshiana or Ana Hashem Aslichana? He said, no, it's Ana Hashem Keni
Avdecha. Really?
Yeah.
I wonder where we got it from. Sounds like a Rabbi Reitzik line, by the way.
No, it wasn't a Rebbe Dari Khan. It was like a rabbi who came, like, it was an...
Oh, somebody who came in.
Maybe Rabbi Reitzik will know, but...
I mean, this is a line. I mean, obviously, this is a song. Okay, anyway. L'choaz bach zevach toidah. To you, I will offer up a korban of thanksgiving over Shem HaShem HaKro. And I will call out in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? I want what I need. Nidori la'Hashem HaShalem. I will give my vows back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Negda na l'cholamo, in the presence of all the people out there. B'chatzor is Beis Hashem, in the courtyard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Beis HaMikdash, B'zochich Yerushalayim. Obviously, never saw the Beis HaMikdash, but that's at B'zochich Yerushalayim, within the midst of Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. That's what he says over there. All right, let's finish. This is a very short one. Hallelujah, Hashem Kol Goyim. All the nations will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbachuhu Kol HaUmim. Not only that, but all the peoples will also praise out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a reference to what's going to be in Yemos HaMashiach and how it's going to be over there. All the nations and the peoples will come together to be together with Hashem. Ki Gavar Leinu Chasdo, because His Chesed is tremendous on us, very mighty toward us. Emes Hashem Leolam, and the Emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will last forever. Hallelujah. That's what it's going to be over here. All right, you know what? I know you got to go. You go. I'm going to meet you there. Let's see if we can finish Kufiyat Chas, because I just want to be done with this Sefer. This Sefer goes up till right there. I'll see you soon. Let's see what it says here. Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilolom Chastai. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His good, for the future Yeshua, for Yemos HaMashiach, maybe David himself, because His chesed goes on forever. Yomino Yisrael Kilolom Chastai. B'nei Yisrael should say Lo'olom Chastai. Yomino Beis Aaron Kilolom Chastai. Remember, this goes on, even Beis Aaron, the next level up of Levim and Kohanim. Then we have Yomino Yirei Hashem Kilolom Chastai. Those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they tell me to come in. You should do it over here. I have a reference over here that Nochomish Gamzu is the reference over here. Kilo Olam Chasa, that a person should always say the words Gamzu Latova, or, you know, Kol Da'avid Rachmanu Latav Avid. And it's learned out from this, Kilo Olam Chasa, that His Chesed lasts forever and that everything is all good.
I mean, Yirei Hashem ostensibly could be people who aren't necessarily Jewish. It's just like anybody who fears Hashem.
It seems that if we're going up,
but,
right?
But no, because somebody who's not dealing with the top. But somebody who's not Beis Aaron could be a Yirei. That's for sure.
I wouldn't mind including him in Yisrael when we say Yisrael. But say that's a Yirei Hashem, somebody who's not
right,
a talakacha, I would
back,
find it
when you
strange.
Say Yiri Hashem, that's going back on Yisrael, not necessarily based out. Meaning, it's not saying only those who are Yiri Hashem of the Kohanim. It's not.
No, I would say Yiri Hashem are Nevi'im and Hasidim.
Right, but that's exclusive of Beis Aaron. It could be people who are not.
Oh, I agree with that. Oh, right.
It's not
misunderstood.
A pyramid going straight up. It could be different.
Meaning it could be
classes.
Not just from Beis Aaron,
right.
But from every... Okay, yeah, I understood that. I meant like B'nai Yisrael is our lower level, just the regular Jews,
right.
Like normal
but the
Jews.
First, but the
and
then
Beis Aaron are higher up.
But lower down than that is you have Hodu Lashem Kito Kilo Hasto. Everybody should bless
okay,
Hashem.
I hear what you're saying. Even
then
though the Rishayim will say.
Then,
and then Beis Aaron.
Beis Aaron is
but
all
more
subset.
Than that are... Yes, more than that are the Yirei Hashem,
but
who could be anyone.
Anybody. I'm saying it could be.
Yeah, I would assume that you're still saying Nevi'im Chassidim, or you're saying even a non.
Whoever, however you define Yirei Hashem,
hard to say.
Why would
hard
it only?
To say. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Mina Meitzer Krosiyah, I call out from the depths, from distress. I call out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anani Bamerchavya, answer me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a place of expansion, in a place where I can be, where I feel free, and I'm able to do whatever I need to do over here. Some say that David HaMelech is referring to this when he felt like he was being pressed into. By Goliath, and he wasn't sure what to do. And not that he was being pressed, he put himself in that position. But a lot, you know, when he was standing there and he realized that it was pretty bad. Goliath is about to kill him, right? And he set out there. Otherwise, what do I have over here? When a person feels slightly sick and a doctor helps him, he's not profuse in his thanks. He's just like, yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate the Advil, you know, like that. But if the guy is dying, then even if the doctor only gives him partial relief, he's unbelievably thankful. For everything that's there, that's so much more grateful. And that's the idea of min ha-meitzar karosiyah, that I call out to you from the ultimate of pain, anani ba-merchavya, you should answer me in the best way possible.
So we say that before we blow the shofar.
That is correct. That is correct. Hashem li lo yira, and that for that reason. I'm feeling distressed. Hashem li lo yira. If Hashem's with me, what do I have to be afraid about? You ask li adam, what could a man possibly do to me? I won't be afraid of anything that a man can do. Hashem li bozu, right? Hashem helps me. And I will look at my enemies and see what my enemies are doing, and I'm not going to be afraid of anything whatsoever. Chazal say that this also is a reference to that famous medrash on Sadi Heyom and Aleph and Sanhedrin of Yishbi Benov. And Avishai, where Avishai came to save David Melech from Yishbi Benov. It's actually a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, right, in Perachav Aleph, right, but it's a medrash that says what happened. It just says that Avishai saved David from Yishbi Benov, but it doesn't say what happened. The medrash is a crazy medrash. Tov lachazos b'Hashem yivtoch l'adam, it's better to be protected by God than to trust in a man. And that makes sense. A man, you never know if he's going to be able to follow through with what he says and anything like that. It's better to go in that. You know what's interesting? David Melech was saying this regarding this. Chazal have an unbelievable medrash. It says, had David lived for more than 70 years, no nation would have gained dominion over Bnei Yisrael. So if what? Only Adam would have given him more than 70 years. Now, you got to think that way. That David Melech was never supposed to live in the first place. But David, Adam Arishon gave him 70 years. If he would have given him 71, everything would have changed. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what that measure means. Honestly, I have no clue. But that means something. The
what
idea
does it mean
is,
that Adam gave him 70 years?
We have no idea. Literally no idea. No idea.
So if there was
the
no David
is,
it would be like...
The pshat is that it would have been that we would need David HaMelech, that Esav would have been the David HaMelech.
Wow.
Esav would have been the improvement. Esav was always supposed to be that fourth Av, but he messed up. David HaMelech is the Gilgal, so to speak, of Esav, doing what Esav never could do, learning Torah and being the king of all, you know, at both times. But the idea of Adam Rishon taking those 70 years, the only reason why I have it is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kibi Yom HaChocham Imenu Tamuz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a day is 1,000 years. So the fact that he didn't live 1,000, he only lived to 930, means there were 70 years. Who's 70? The famous 70? I don't even know if there's anybody else who lived to the age of 70 aside from David.
I mean, it says in Tehillim and Tehillim Moshe, Meshon Tinochem Shivim Shana. So I mean, that seems like the standard.
The average. But do we know anyone that actually died at the age of 70?
I would say it was high in those days.
A mean? I would say it's a mean.
You think so? Yeah. In those days, it would have been old.
I would say so, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but you had a couple of these guys who skewed everything.
Exactly. All you need is one og.
No, but but maybe the 70 is just saying like that's like a full life.
Okay, either way, do you know somebody who actually died at the age of 70? Is there anybody else? So that's what we're saying. Meaning Chazal looked at it, they said he should have lived to 1,000. He lived to 930. Who's known to have lived to 70? There's only one, and it's David. So that's where
still,
we go to.
Still kind of like a little bit of a reach. That's the only thing you're basing it off.
Well, I don't know what the medrash is based off of. But, you know, basing it off the medrash. Told Achsos B'Hashem, Yibtoach Minidivim. It's better to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to trust in princes, which is obvious. Kol Goyim Svavuni. All the nations surrounding B'Shem and Shem Yigimilam. And I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cut them off. Somebody got Svavuni, they surround me again. B'Shem and Shem Yigimilam. They surround me like the bees. They're quenched like the fire and thorns. Because I ask in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cut them off. Some say this referring to the three times that David HaMelech was trapped in the cave. One time when Shaul HaMelech was called away. The other time when David HaMelech cut off the corner of his jacket. And the third time when he went down and he caught him in the camp, maybe? And he went down and Avner was there, etc. And he took away his flask. I don't remember. But regardless, that could be it. Some say that it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash, first, second, and third Beis HaMikdash. Some say it's specifically bees, because the bees die quickly after they sting you. There may be a couple stings, but they're not going to kill me. It's going to be painful for a little bit, and then the bees die. Either way, they pushed me hard that I might fall, but Hashem is running, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me. Who pushed me? Shaul HaMelech, Avshalom, Achitofel, Doiga Adomi, my Yetzer Hara, Rome. Who knows if that's referring to Bnei Yisrael as a whole, or is referring to Rome? Gog and Magog. Those are all answers the Me'am Lo'ez gives as to who pushed me to fall. Ziv is in Raska. My strength and my song is God. By Yeshua, and he became my salvation. Korin of Yeshua, he is my voice of rejoicing and salvation. Ba'alei tzadikim yimina Hashem osachayo. In the tents of the righteous, the right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does war, does the battle. You mean, by the way, Korin of Yeshua ba'alei tzadikim is the Rosh Yetevis of Krovitz. As in hymns. I don't think you do that. You don't do Krovtzim, do you? That? Neither do we. Krovtzim, in the back of Siddurim, you see Krovtzim. They're like the extra stuff in Machzorim that you don't do in Rosh and Yom Kippur. Like, if you look in the back, there's all these like pages and pages of whatever. You mean Hashem Romema, you mean Hashem Osachayo.
When did you do them?
You know, there's 2 weeks a year when Beis Chaim David does them. It's the Parshas Para and Parshas Zachar. And they do the Krovtzim in the middle of Musaf. And it's so annoying.
How long is it?
It's an extra like 6 minutes. Yeah. If you get like Renan Sugarman to do it, then it's really quick. But if you get somebody else to do it, it's annoying. Oh, I remember somebody didn't know that it was that we do Krovtzim, and they're just like, what am I saying? Like, he had no idea. You mean Hashem Romema, you mean Hashem Osachayo. The right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted. The right hand does the war. It raises high the fist of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what it needs to do. Lo amus kech yavaseper maseko. I'm not going to die. I will live and tell over the works of God. Yasur yisraniko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu might give me yisurin. Lamavzlon sanani. But I'm not going to die. These troubles are there to be able to help me. It's going to help me be mechaper for my sins. My suffering will be little by little. Yasur yisrani. It'll be a little bit yisurin and then more yisurin. But I'm not going to die a sudden death. He's going to allow me to speak to my dead. Peace, Kul Yishar, Tzedek, open up for me these gates of righteousness. I'm going to go through them and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are 12 gates that go up to the heavens, but Zeh Hashar, the 13th gate, La Hashem, La Tzedekim Yavovo, that's the only one that Tzedekim can go through. The 12 are for the 12 Shvatim. The 13th was for Yosef HaTzedek. The 12 Shvatim includes Ephraim and Menashe.
13 is not a good number.
I'm sorry? It is for us. That's that. Yud Gimel was a gematria of Echad. Odcho ki ani sani, I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki ani sani, when things go badly, v'atil Yeshua, and you will be my salvation. The mashal is, after he prepared his provisions for the road, a guy came out of the country, and he went by caravan, a thorn pricked him, a scorpion stung him.
How do you translate ani tani?
Odcho ki ani sani, because you have answered me.
You answered me, right.
So what did I say?
You said when you oppressed me.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, that's interesting, because he does say afflicted here in parentheses. You have answered.
It's gotta be, it has to be answered. The nun is nun rafe, not in dagesh. And the Targum also says...
No, you know what? In the Medrash, it actually says, even when you afflict me, not only do I not complain, thus we find the Rabbi Kiva wanted to go on a certain ship. It sailed without him. Later it sank in the sea. You offer praise of Thanksgiving. Like Levi Strauss.
The shot of the pasuk is...
Oh, no question. Ani Sunny, yeah, has answered me. Yeah, that's that. All right, we'll skip that mushel for right now. Evan Moswa, Bonim Haisel Rosh Pina. Now, the stone that was despised by the builders ended up becoming the cornerstone. Obviously, that's a reference to David HaMelech. It's a Gemara in Pesachim that David HaMelech was the cornerstone that eventually came out, but he was despised by the Bonim. The other children in his family hated him, either because they thought he was a mamzer, or for whatever other reason. And then when they saw what happened that he got put up, this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hini Flas Beinenu. It's wondrous in our eyes. How could it be? This herder ended up becoming a king. How did this happen over here? He couldn't believe that such a thing could have happened over here. Said David HaMelech, this day God made, we should rejoice and we should be happy in it and what's going to be over here.
Repeat the exact
so if you noticed, all of this was doubled up. If you went through the entire Tehillim, right, the entire way through, Tov Lesachalachos Bashem Yivtoach Ba'adam, Tov Lesachalachos Bashem Yivtoach and then Kol Gan Yisvavuni Bashem Yivtoach Ba'adam, Tzabni Gam Zuni Gashem Yivtoach. Right? So all of them are doubled up. So Chazal say the ones over here, everything should be doubled. Not only these, but also Anash HaMoshiyana, Anash HaMatzlichana, the whole rest of it is doubled up.
Wait, why? But then why didn't? Why isn't it in the text doubled up?
I think that the pshat is anything that's doubled up in the text, we double up in the text. And there was a minhag to double up the rest of them because the first ones were doubled up and these weren't. But it started and people did it, but not everybody had it.
So my next question, and I had this question once a long time ago, and the teacher yelled at me for being disrespectful and didn't answer my question.
You probably were.
Yeah, odds are you were. Yeah.
So it says, Anash HaMoshiyana, we repeat Anash HaMoshiyana, but it's the middle of the pasuk.
Yes. So how could you do it?
No, why don't we say the whole thing? Anash HaMoshiyana, Anash HaMatzlichana. Then again, Anash HaMoshiyana, Anash HaMatzlichana. Why do we say Anash HaMoshiyana?
So what's the problem? It's not like the Torah.
I think there's a problem. I'm not saying there's a problem.
Yeah, I don't think there's a
problem
with
why is that the minhag?
Maybe because they mean different things. No, probably because the meaning is different.
The Rebbe yelled at me and said, what are you talking about? That's not true. Anash HaMoshiyana is one pasuk, Anash HaMatzlichana is one pasuk. I'm like, no, it's not. And then he then he said, then he yelled at me for being disrespectful and didn't answer my question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then as I'm sitting there, like, I'm looking at the till, and I'm like, I was right.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Took the high road.
Either way, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But I think it might be because of the translation. The words are translated different. Hoshia and Atzlicha are completely different from one another. So that might be why, in order to stress the Hoshia and then Atzlicha.
Right, I guess, yeah. To stress it makes more sense.
That probably would be the idea behind it. The wording over here, Ono Hashem, please Hashem, Hoshia na, save us now. Ono Hashem, Hatzlicha, na, save us now. How does the Targum say it? No, it's supposed to be, please Hashem, save us now. I believe it's going to say the word Akshav or something like that. Whatever it is. Yeah, it's Chafei. Chafei. What's it say over here? The Ominach Hashem Kidun. Right now. Kidun. Right? Amaru, etc. Kidun. That's the idea behind it. For whatever reason, that word no can mean both please and now. I remember that was a big thing where Rabbi Cohn said, how do we know? He said, how do you translate the word An Hashem Oshia no? And everybody said, please Hashem, save us, please. And Rabbi Cohn said, why do we have to say please twice? And it was written in the yeshiva program, and I said, that's not what it means. I said, it means please Hashem save us now. He's like, what do you mean? That's not what it means. That is what it means.
Yeah,
no, it means that.
Makes sense too.
No, like, but he said, he wanted to say a whole board on that. I was saying, that's not what it means. It means now. He's like, where do you know that? So I was like, Targum. And I showed him that Targum. That's where it goes. I'm pretty sure it says the same way. What does he say over here? Now, right?
Yeah.
Save us now. I'm pretty sure it's the exact same thing in art school. In the English, the art school sitter, it's the same way. But we don't know it. And then be matzliach as well. And then the end of this, Baruch Abba Hashem Hashem Baruch Nuh HaBez Hashem. Blessed is your coming in the name of Hashem. You should be blessed from the house of Hashem. We say about David HaMelech, El Hashem B'yir Lenu Zuchag B'Avosim HaKenos HaZveach. God is Hashem. He has shown His light upon us. He ties us up, or the Chag, the Korban, with ropes, Ad Kenos HaZveach, all the way to the corners of the Mizveach. Shno Isru Chag, by the way, is the day afterward to it exalt us before the days of Chol. Eliyatu Vildeka, you are God. You are my God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I thank you, Elohai Romecha. I will exalt you. Hod L'Hashem Kitok Nul HaZol. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for how good He is. And that's that.
Oh, no. Your question was, why do they split the puzzle?
Okay, we're going to stop with this.